It's time for the Las Vegas Sports Line. Brought to you by CG Technology Sportsbook.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Be in the know where all the tickets stack up. Let's go behind the counter.
All right, fine. You want to make a bet?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 5. Go.
4.
No, 3. Good try, though.
With CG Technology Sportsbook's Dave Sherapin.
You'd think after all these attempts, that guy would guess the right number just one time, but never gets it right. I'm Dave Koch, and welcome to the Friday edition, Behind the Counter Friday edition of the Las Vegas Sportsline. Teddy Covers is here, part of the great team at Wager Talk, and Dave Sherapin, as always on Thursdays and Fridays. Dave Sherapin from CG Technology. Follow him on Twitter at Sportsbook Consigliere. It's abbreviated. Dave can give you the abbreviation. Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm good, man. No load management for me today.
Nah.
I'm ready to go.
There you go. Good stuff. We have a final score to report already on this day. The NHL is in action over in, I think it's Sweden, as the part of the global series. Might be Finland. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's somewhere where it's cold.
And, not here.
And Tampa Bay was the winner over the Buffalo Sabres 3-2, the first of 4 NHL games tonight. And that's all we'll cover on the NHL for now. Guys, let's talk about the Thursday night Raiders game, because when we're doing the show yesterday, Dave, you said the ideal, the optimum final score would be Chargers by 1. And it almost got there.
You were live.
That missed extra point. I even tweeted. I said, you're live here, buddy.
I know. Tell me about it. And it's funny because Raiders by 2 really wasn't a good result. And I thought, we all thought the same thing. Just kick the ball, get a good return, maybe come down and just get a shot at the field goal. And the Chargers couldn't even complete a pass.
No.
In that situation at all. That late touchdown pushed the game over the total. So that wasn't a good result. We had a lot of crazy things happen at the end of that game and weren't favorable, I'll say, for the book.
Rivers was 0-for-8 on that drive and bailed out by the penalty call.
And they weren't even close.
No. It was a rough night for Philip Rivers. What did you think of the in terms of prop wise? Did you guys do okay on the prop? Did you get some back that way, or was it really a rough night overall? And the props aren't that big of a piece of the equation.
Yeah, the props were minimal. I mean, it was good handle, but nothing major. You know, at least when the game's competitive, you see more handle on the props, which is a nice thing. And you know, it is still the Raiders, and being in Vegas, you definitely see it, and now they're actually pretty good. So it's just one of those games where, we would have loved to have seen the Chargers go down and kick a field goal there to win by 1.
Yeah, and there were all kinds of live betting opportunities during the game. I want to mention this real quick. This is why you have to have the app. I didn't bet this because I had the other side in the game, and I wasn't going to bet against myself. It's in the game between the Canadiens and Flyers last night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's not live betting on every game, but I did check around for live odds in this game. And after the second period, it's a 2-1 game. And Montreal hasn't played well, but they're only down a goal. And it's one of those spots where they're live here. And I checked the price. It was plus 340 on Canadiens. And it's like, well, I got to bet on the Flyers, so I'm not going to bet it. But that was one of those situations where it's like, boy, if you've got access the in-game betting, that's worth a shot. And in fact, they did tie the game. It went to overtime, so you really got your money's worth out of the plus 340, even though it didn't get there. And Dave, that's why, I don't know why anybody who's betting to make money, and I'm talking whether you're a professional bettor, serious stuff, or even a recreational bettor who's betting $5 or $10 a shot, you got to have the app.
You absolutely do. And just the hockey's a great example. The lines fluctuate so much. And if you're watching the game, you can see where you're down 2-1, but you're probably, you know, even or even dominating play a little bit. You're getting value. So having the app, you know, with us, there's 7 places to go sign up and deposit money. Make it, it takes 5 to 10 minutes. It's a quick procedure. And you're live, you know, for in-game wagering, which is only available on the app. But it just gives you way more options. and just makes your you just get better at this because with more outs and more options, it just gives you a way better chance at actually making money.
And let me ask you this: I mean, we can relate it to last night. I don't know if you know offhand, but what line did you have on the game after the Raiders went up 10-0? Because I know there were definitely places where you could have cashed Charger tickets, no problem.
When a game goes back and forth like that, you know, where there's a couple lead changes, you can end up with plus points or plus money lines on both sides. I believe when it was 10-0, it was, I think, 3-1 with the Chargers you could have taken, and it was about, I think it was 6.5, where you could have taken 6.5 with the Chargers, which, despite the end of the game going that way, that was the only time they were 6.5, and that would have got you to the window.
There you go. Let's get started on the Behind the Connor College Report. We do this every Friday with either Teddy, Marco D'Angelo, or Ralph Michaels from Wager Talk, and of course, Dave Sharapan from CG Sportsbooks, and myself. My name's Dave Kokin. Florida State, let's do tonight's games. I forgot about those. Central Florida at Tulsa. Tonight, Tulsa has now been eliminated from the possibility of garnering a bowl bid, so they might look at tonight's game as their bowl game, which could make it exciting. What's happening with the action?
This actually is pretty even for what you wouldn't think a 17-point favorite would be, but we're seeing a lot of two-way here tonight on this one. Parlays, forget about it, though. It's 6-1 on Central Florida. So the books probably, if we're going to kick off Friday night right, we're going to stay within the 17 number would be the best-case scenario.
So Oregon State's been a bottom feeder for how long? Oh. You know, I mean, forever, basically.
Basically, since they, I think they had a Heisman Trophy winner in early 1960s. Gary Beben, I think, was an Oregon State guy. That's a while ago.
But in recent years, they've been particularly bad.
Yes.
And when a team that's particularly bad gets respectable in the course of a season, you're supposed to be able to make money with that team. Well, the Washington Huskies have been really good. This year, they've been fairly disappointing, to put it mildly, and are sitting at 500 right now. And yet, the disappointing team laying double digits on the road at Oregon State, what kind of action are you seeing?
No one believes in Oregon State yet, even you know, with a 4-4 record. This one's a little lopsided on the Washington side. And, I mean, it's a market number now at 10. We haven't seen much Oregon State action at all, to be perfectly honest. So we'll be surprised to see this line probably creep up a little bit. But the only play we've gotten for the most part has been on the Huskies.
I might take a shot with Oregon State first half. I find it hard to believe Washington, they have nothing to play for at this point.
And that was a rough loss last week. I mean, they had that
back-to-back
game
against Utah. Back-to-back games, they've blown the fourth quarter lead. Their two biggest games of the year, and now they literally have nothing to play for at this point, so we'll see what happens. Florida State and Boston College, this is an odd game because we have the old interim head coach, and he is old for Florida State, taking on Boston College. I got a feeling these two teams are just going to come out loose and throw it all over the place, or at least Boston College won't throw it all over the place, but it looks like a wide-open game. That's a high total on this game, too, Dave.
It really is. The line is just, it just doesn't look right. Florida State is a 2.5-point dog at Boston College. I can't remember the last time that would be even close to what the line would be for this matchup.
Probably never.
But, yeah. Well, nobody believes that Florida State's going to, you know, play well as far as the betting goes. I mean, tickets are running at like 4-1 on BC. There's definitely more money on BC. So, again, even you know, without Taggart being the coach, I mean, Axel Foley could be the coach. We still need Florida State in the game. It's unbelievable.
So the Miami Hurricanes are off back-to-back wins and obviously covers because they were underdogs in both games. But now they're in a different role this week. Now they got to win and cover as a favorite, and they might be in a letdown spot against Louisville. What's the action? Are the market saying that Miami is the team to go with or the team to go against Louisville coming off a bye?
So we got early play on this when we opened at Miami -5.5 and took a limit play there. Got to 6.5 and have seen more tickets on Louisville since. So there's more tickets, but there's less money. on this one. So I think kind of feels like the public is siding with Louisville in this, but the numbers guys and the early play that we got was on the Hurricanes at the 5.5 number.
The numbers guys will be on Miami in this game, and the situational guys are going to be on Louisville in this game. My numbers are really good. So, and I can tell you, Louisville is more than six. Miami's more than 6.5 on the number. Situation clearly favors the other team. So it depends on what type of handicapper you are. And I guess that applies to this game. Is Notre Dame interested at this point as they go on the road against Duke? The betting market seems to think that they are.
Yeah, the betting market is all over the Irish here. We opened at 6. We got a limit play at 6. We got a limit play at 7. We're at 8, and we still haven't gotten any Duke money. This game is 8-1 ticket ratio on the Irish. And there's only two teams that have been selected more in parlays than Notre Dame, and that's the matchup of the weekend, LSU and Alabama. The same game. Those two teams have more tickets than anyone else. But number 3 is the Irish, laying the big number on the road.
So I think there are going to be some popular underdogs that we're going to talk
about.
Here
comes one of them.
And I'm confident this is going to be on the list. Of course, that's Illinois and Michigan State. But based on the early week money, it seems like there are some who are not big fans of the Illini this week.
There are. And our group of guys that make the numbers made this one lower. We opened at Michigan State minus 11.5, took the plays, straight wagers, limit plays at 11.5, at 13, and at 14. So that got us to the number 15, and now we're seeing exactly what you just said. It's a way more popular choice. There's Illinois tickets, even at a 14.5 point number currently, are running at about 3-1 ticket count on the Illini. So they are a popular dog right now, and a lot of times those popular dogs just it's a tough one.
All right, if I were a boxing ring announcer, I'd go, "Someone's O has got to go." Penn State in Minnesota, 8-0 versus 8-0. Who's gonna stay unbeaten according to the bettors?
This one's been great. We've seen a lot of two-way action so far. We opened at 6.5. We got up to 7. The limit play came at 7. We went back to 6.5. We bounced twice between the two numbers. It's crazy because ticket-wise, it's actually there's more tickets on Minnesota. And the limit play on Minnesota has this one. Surprisingly, if a game kicked right now, Penn State would be one of the book's bigger decisions. We would need Penn State, which I'm perfectly okay with, so I can sit here and actually watch them hopefully win and continue the undefeated O train all the way to Ohio State.
By the way, before we get to the next game, I get asked sometimes, well, how come you don't save the real big games for the end? You know, you're supposed to say, and it's because it's a betting show, and I know a lot of the bettors are following with their schedules and schedule rotations, so we go right in the numerical rotation of the schedule for betting purposes. If it was not a betting show, we would certainly save Penn State, Minnesota, and Alabama, LSU for the end. But it's a betting show, so we go with rotation order, and that means the next game, which kind of sucks, will still be a good betting game, Teddy.
Well, it's the funniest game out there this week because, you know, as soon as I saw the opening number, I'm like, how can Purdue be late and on the road? And then all I do is walk around all week and everyone's saying, how can Northwestern be late? You know? So this is truly a pick-your-poison type of game.
Or a pick-your-nose type of game.
Yeah. Boilermakers and the Wildcats, what do you got?
This is maybe a pick-a-different-game type of game.
Yeah.
You just let this one go. We took limit plays at pick and at 1.5 on Northwestern. We're at 2.5 now and need Purdue. So it's just one of those games that I don't even have a clue what we're going to need at kickoff. I just don't know where the line's going to go next. But bettors are on Northwestern here, which if you've seen their offense, man, that's a tough one to lay points.
I don't get it. I honestly don't either, although I don't want the other team. Now, this next game, I would assume you're going to have a need for USC as they take on Arizona State. I mean, the consensus is that new athletic director for USC, there's no chance Helton is going to be around. They just got blown out last week in what was their most important game of the season. The Arizona State money has to be shown here, doesn't it?
Well, the Arizona State money showed early.
Yep.
We opened the pick. We took the limit play there. We went to 1.5, and we've been drifting back. And I guess just right before you guys called and we got on the show, a report surfaced that the Arizona State quarterback is questionable.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
So the line has actually flipped back to USC 1 in a lot of places. That's where we're at. And our guys in the room, you know, between Rich and Joe and Tony and Tommy, they made it actually USC minus 2.
Well, actually what my number was in the game. Without weighing in any situational stuff,
sure.
I made, just on my numbers, my
power rating,
I made USC minus 2.
Okay, well, you're dead on with the number as far as, like, you know, the numbers guys. But again, it's such a weird situation. How does USC, bounce back and go to Arizona State and want to play after just getting thumped and that game getting away from them? Seems like a hard spot for them to go, but, I mean, the bettors are kind of drifting that way right now.
So the betting markets haven't really given a lot of respect to Matt Rhule's Baylor Bears this year. And if you've been betting on Baylor, you've done pretty well as a result. Is that what you're seeing this week, that Baylor continues to be a team that isn't getting much respect in the markets as they travel to TCU in what might be an outright upset spot?
We're kind of thinking like you there with that. We opened at 1.5 with Baylor, got the limit plays from the numbers guys at 1.5 and 2, had to get to 3 quick and took the play at TCU plus 3. But the way this is shaping up, I think the public is kind of buying Baylor now. This is number 4 as far as selections behind the LSU-Bama game, 1 and 2, and Notre Dame, number 3. Baylor is now the 4th most selected team as far as parlays go with us. So I know the best result for us is going to be the outright upset win by TCU.
Now that we have, we're in schedule rotation, so we're talking about the big game now. And with the widespread legalized wagering now and apps all over the place, I will say that, and this record won't stand long because that's just, it's not going to stand long. It'll get broken before the end of the year. But to date, LSU-Alabama tomorrow will be the largest ever volume game for legalized wagering in college football.
I wish we could make a number on it, but I think you're right. everyone has an opinion on this game.
Yep.
It has been outstanding as far as, and the number's pretty good. We opened at 7 and immediately took LSU money at 7, took Moneyline money there, inched it down to 6.5. They continue to bet LSU there. We're at 6 right now, pretty much market number. There's still 6.5 out there, but you never, as the book, get to say you need Alabama this week. I can't remember the last time where we could say that. And if the game kicked right now, we need Bama for a big number.
I think, actually, you guys needed Alabama in the championship game last year, didn't you, against Clemson? Clemson got a lot of money in that game.
Yeah, well, and that was kind of based on the futures position as well.
Right.
Because the Clemson future was so overwhelmingly positive that for the game we ended up needing Alabama. But yeah, it's going to be a really good game. The total's been really interesting because it's 63 for an SEC game with these two teams. It just doesn't look right. And bettors are looking at it like that and seeing way more underbets than over, which I don't know. It feels like this game's going to be scored in the 70s. To me, it feels like it's going to be a back-and-forth over-type game. Mm. I still don't know who I would pick, but right now, if you ask me, I would side with Bama.
Two pretty good offenses in that one. At least one really good offense in this one, but one pretty good defense. Matt Campbell's Cyclones have had success against the point spread when they faced the Sooners. Each of his 3 previous tries against Oklahoma has been an Iowa State cover, including an outright upset the last time they were in Norman. What's going on in the markets with Iowa State and Oklahoma this time as Matt Campbell goes for another outright upset in Norman?
Well, either nobody knows that, Teddy, or nobody's listening, because nobody's betting Iowa State. We opened 13, and they laid 13, they laid 14. We got to 15, which we're at now, and we're still seeing, I wrote here, a smattering of tickets only on Iowa State. This is going to be a big one for parlays. Everything's tied to Oklahoma. We'll need the Cyclones. Ideally, an outright upset would be great, but just staying within the number will be okay.
Kansas State looking to stay hot. They're on the road against a disappointing Texas team. Longhorns are the favorite. Where's the money?
We opened this a little bit lower. We had this 5.5 and got money at 5.5, 6.5, and at 7. We actually had to go to 7.5 to get the Kansas State bet. Pretty respected player actually took the Kansas State bet, and now we're back at 7. We actually have more tickets by a little margin on Kansas State, but all the money's on the Longhorns. We need Kansas State to stay within the number there as well.
So I saw today that Fresno State has lost their starting center for the season. Has that affected the point spread at all against a very disappointing Utah State team in recent weeks?
No, it really hasn't. This one here, the plays came on Fresno State at 3.5, 4.5, 5.5. It was all one-sided. We got to the 6, and again, that's where the peak was. We got one of our respected players came in at 6 and got back to, we're at 5 right now. So we'll need the Utah State side by kick for sure.
Before we get to the two late games involving Mountain West teams, one more Big Ten game, Iowa at Wisconsin, Dave.
Surprisingly, this is a low-volume game. I thought, and it's obviously it's overshadowed by the other big games this weekend, so I think it would have more action if those games weren't going on. But we're at 9. We've been sitting at 9 all week. The total's 38. So we're seeing action both ways. The game is black-black right now. Surprising. I don't know if it's going to change much between now and kick, but seems like a big number to me in a game that's only have 38 for a total.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, do you prefer, as a bookmaker, when a game is black-black, when you make a small profit both ways, regardless of how it ends up? Or would you rather have decisions over the course of the weekend?
It depends, Teddy. I think if you have a game like the volume of LSU, Bama, it'd be okay to be black-black. I mean, it's not preferred, you know, but in a game where you have such little volume, you want decisions.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that you can't get action like that on every game. So I think, you know, if you have a solid team of odds makers, you'd rather have decisions than black-black in those situations.
Right. The flip side, though, and we talked about this yesterday, is you've got a Sunday night standalone NFL game that might very well be black-black, where it doesn't matter which side gets there, and that's the Cowboys-Vikings game, and that's the best position of all for a book, is a high-volume game where you have no sweat at all.
Yeah, you can actually breathe easy a little bit in those situations, especially, you know, the way the games play out, you got to see where the parlay liability goes to, and then all of a sudden you grade all the games and you're like, whoa, there's a 6-teamer live to the Vikings money line, and then you have a decision. But otherwise, yeah, I think based on some of these Sunday night games that have happened, sometimes it's just easier on your stomach to watch the game and not have that big decision.
So our neighbors to the north, and I'll say this nicely, they've shown a lot of quit so far this football season. Where they get punched in the mouth, they don't really punch back.
But they got a score in the fourth quarter last week to get past the number against New Mexico.
Thank you. Yeah, barely. So they're taking on a San Diego State team that, you know, I like Agnew, I like the offense, and they just never put up points. It just doesn't happen. What kind of action are you seeing on Nevada and San Diego State, and can you make a case for either of these two sides? I had a really hard time liking either one of them.
Bettors are having a really hard time, too. The number 17 on the side, 39 on the total, and the paint has been dry on these numbers since we opened them. There has not been a single move on either one, so it's a 7:30 game, and obviously that's going to change, but I would firmly anticipate needing Nevada by the time this game kicks off.
And the nightcap, as usual, on the islands in Hawaii. And the Rainbow Warriors, who have been awful as favorites, will be up against the upstart San Jose State Spartans, who, if you've backed San Jose State this year, you've done well. They're extremely well coached, and yet they still continue to get very little respect in the market. Is that the case again on Saturday?
100%, Dave. This is Open Hawaii 7. We're up to 8, and no one is interested yet. And again, we call this the get-back game. Saturday night at 8 o'clock, it will be standalone for at least a half an hour. Maybe they'll decide then if they'll come in and grab San Jose State, but no one has yet. We will need San Jose State in that late game.
This is a big game for them, by the way. I mean, San Jose State, if they win, they get a shot to clinch a bowl bid against UNLV. How about that?
They're better than UNLV.
They should be. Yeah, they'll beat UNLV.
But, I mean, from a spot perspective, you can understand why they're betting Hawaii.
You know,
San Jose played at Army.
Right.
And then they played against Boise. And now they got to go and travel to the islands in a three-week span. That's a lot of travel. And the market's, I think, reacting to that. But you talked about Hawaii. What are they, 4-17?
Oh, just terrible as a favorite.
Yeah. Once this year they've been chalk, home chalk, against a D1 squad. Oregon State, speaking of which, they were laying 4.5. They won the game by 3.
All right. Well, I think we've completed the rundown. We did it. We made it through another week, Dave.
That's a good segment, man.
That's pretty good stuff, man. That's a lot of games, and you know, it's fun doing it. It's, you know, I got to meet Teddy in person again this week, so good stuff. I appreciate it.
And a reminder, LSU Bama is going to be good wherever you watch it. But it's really going to be a lot of fun if you go to one of the books in town. This will be, it's going to be crazy. I mean, they'll be yelling and screaming on every play. If you want to soak up that atmosphere, check out one of the CG locations around town. Pick your favorite spot. You're going to have a great time.
I think you better get there early this week because the Penn State-Minnesota game is a 9 o'clock kick, and I anticipate that kind of being a big watch game. In addition to, you know, Ohio State laying, 6 touchdowns against Maryland early, but get your seats early, get the app, and just enjoy the afternoon. It's going to be electric in any one of the books you decide to go to.
And you want to follow Dave Sherapin on Twitter as well. Dave, let them know how to do that.
Oh, yeah. It's at Sportsbook Consigliere, which is at SportsBK Consig. Try to put out all kind of information and a lot of fun stories back and forth. We're dialed in with a lot of different people, the banter back and forth. I say you may not get all the jokes at the beginning, but stay involved, and it's pretty good stuff.
It's an excellent follow. I'm glad I have it on my timeline, that's for sure. Thanks, Dave. We'll do it again next week.
Have a great weekend, guys. Go Penn State.
Yeah, okay. Go Penn State by less than 7.
Exactly. By a field goal is fine. Field goal game's good.
I have a trend from Ralph Michaels, and I like this one. I normally kind of sneeze at the trend, because I'm not a trend guy. But I like this one.
Makes sense.
I will tell you about it next.
Follow us on Twitter at TheLVSportsLine and at ESPN Las Vegas.
Hello, friends. This is Thomas Johnson from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Need a great idea for lunch or dinner? Your best bet is Joe's, one of the most popular dining destinations on the Strip. Joe's provides the ideal setting for private parties with accommodations for up to 150 guests. Stop by to see us at the Forum Shops at Caesars and ask for Thomas Johnson, your maitre d'.
The one best bet you'll never lose. So to me, it's not even a bet. It's a sure thing. And that's dinner at Joe's. Make a reservation, 702-792-9222. So this is a good one. I like this one from Ralph Michaels. Okay, we're going to take the team off a bye.
Yep.
And they won the game before the bye. And now they're a road favorite of 3 or more. It was a winner last week. The Dallas Cowboys were in this situation last week. Off the bye and a win, laying more than 3 as road favorites. They got the money against the Giants. It's now 45-9 straight up, and more importantly, because this is a spread deal, the spread just hasn't come into play. 41-13 against the spread. And there is a team that fits this week. It's the Los Angeles Rams. They are more than they are three or more on the road against the Steelers. They are off a bye and off a win. They would be the play according to this trend. And I don't disagree with that.
Sure, there's one problem with laying more than a field goal with the Rams here, and it's a fundamental problem, which means I'm not going to do it regardless of the trend. And that's Jared Goff against a good defense.
Well, I'll give you that.
And, I mean, the Steelers are, say what you want about the offense right now. That is a defense.
The defense is playing well.
That's capable of winning. Well, they've proven they're capable of winning games by themselves. They've done it, you know, basically the last two victories.
And they're going to get pressure on Goff, and he has not done well when facing pressure this season.
And, the Rams running, we'll see what comes out of the bye, but they're a full yard per carry worse than they were last year when they went to the Super Bowl. And, you know, you want to know why they haven't been quite as good? You know, that's a easy way to look.
And we'll tell you one thing. They better win this game because the playoffs are going to start to, you know, they're going to be off in the far, in the distant horizon if they lose this football game. They're in trouble to make the playoffs if they lose. They need this win, the Rams.
The Steelers are thinking the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. But the Steelers weren't expecting.
Look at Pittsburgh's schedule.
When Big Ben went down, the Steelers weren't okay, you know, goodbye. I have a future ticket on the Steelers, and it's like, but the Rams were expected to be back.
Sure, they were in the Super Bowl.
And they have been a disappointment. So this is a huge
disappointment.
Well, no, I'll say bigger than that, because even games that they've won, they haven't really looked good. I mean, when are they going to play a complete game? Even against the crappy Bengals. And the Bengals are awful. The Bengals are in that game. I mean, they just have been unimpressive even in wins.
The Rams are 5-3 straight up and 6-2 against the spread. I'm not calling that team a
disappointment. I know, but it's weird. I don't even know how it's possible that they're 6-2 against the spread. They've been so ugly. Really?
You know, they have the only win.
6-2 against the spread?
Yeah, they're the only team to beat the Saints.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm probably going to play them this weekend, so I hope they improve on that already gaudy mark. Like this trend. I'm going to back it.
6-2, depending on what you're going to count the game against Seattle. They cover the number there in theory and lost.
How about the NBA? We've got Friday night NBA action. Where should we begin?
Well, probably with the TV game, don't you think? Or with the
Lakers.
Yeah. The ESPN game versus the Lakers. They're two different games. We can go either one.
But the Lakers are always number one in this town. They just are. This is a Lakers town.
Sure. And the Lakers have proven to be a bet-on team early in the season. They really have. They have I'm not going to say overachieved, because there was more sharp money supporting L.A. coming into the campaign than I expected. And now that's been joined by the betting public as well. So, unfortunately, from a point spread value standpoint, there is a little bit of tax on the L.A. Lakers right now. You're certainly seeing it in the spread tonight against Miami, who also has been a real overachiever early on, a surprise team against the spread early on. And, you know, a lot of that is their depth. But a fair bit of that's the impact of Jimmy Butler, who's been a very dynamic player. Although Miami not 100%, doesn't look like Justice Winslow is going to play, and he's been impactful for that team early on.
The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Washington Wizards have a combined 4 wins between them. But they get an ESPN game tonight. So, you know, this will be a rare opportunity for them to have the spotlight shining on them, and maybe we'll get a good game.
Yeah, we could well get an entertaining game tonight. I mean, Washington's not playing any defense at all. Their defense, their numbers are not pretty. Although, in their last win and only home victory of the season, they did hold an opponent under 99 points, under 100 points, I should say. The Pistons scored 99, but of course Detroit was without, I believe, their top 3 point guards that night, so it certainly impacted their offensive flow. You know, Washington has not been a team to play D, and with Cleveland under Boeheim, we've seen snippets of defense, not the last couple of games, but we definitely, there have been times where this team has looked better than I thought they would on the defensive end. All that being said, on the road, that hasn't really been the case, and we've seen a whole bunch of over money come in on this contest. I wouldn't disagree with that assessment. This might be an offensive showcase type of game.
Is that the only game on national TV tonight?
Yeah, it's the only one I saw.
Well, there's plenty of college basketball on national TV. ESPN has 3 games. It's the ESPN family. They're not all on the same ESPN, but Either ESPN, ESPN2, or ESPNU will have these three games. Illinois-Chicago at Memphis, and Memphis has an extremely young team. I mean extremely young. They're starting four freshmen and a sophomore. But boy, oh boy, Penny Hardaway brought in some studs. That 7-1 kid is going to be a monster. And I played this game. I took Memphis. Now, if you look at the KenPom number, I'm laying too much. Because the KenPom number is like 13.5 or something like that. And lines, I think it's up to around 20. I laid a little less than that. But I look at this game as this Memphis team with, I mean, I'm talking just stud athletes who can get up and down the floor like nobody's business. And UIC, under Steve McClain, they like to run. They'll throw a little pressure on defense. They like to run, okay? To me, they're playing right into the strength of the athletes. Memphis does have Oregon up next. But I think that this team, to me, is too young to be looking ahead to something like that. I think they're just going to go out there and do what they did in game one, which is race up and down the court, get easy looks at the basket, and I think they win the game easily.
Yeah, I mean, game one, they were plus 22 on the boards.
Oh, they killed him.
Yeah.
And I agree that South Carolina State is god-awful. But to me, you want to beat this Memphis team, you better slow them down and hope that their lack of experience translates into a lack of patience. That shouldn't be an issue tonight.
And that makes a ton of sense. Yep. I mean, it really does. And this much I've learned from experience is that in college basketball, experience is overrated and talent is underrated.
I started buying into that philosophy with the Fab Five.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you've got the better players, it doesn't matter how old they are.
Sure, and that was obviously in my wheelhouse. I was in Ann Arbor at the time, and I think that was probably the time I started buying into that concept, too.
It took me a year to learn that because I didn't do well trying to beat Michigan in that tournament. Well, I didn't. I thought, you know, well, the experienced teams are going to get them, and they didn't. And from that point on, it was like, let's just see who's got the better players. The experience doesn't matter much.
And it doesn't. And a game like this, it shouldn't.
Baylor and Washington matching up tonight. Got some good early season college basketball games. I think this is a quality matchup. Baylor has a good basketball team. I think Washington is going to be solid in the Pac-12. Good matchup here.
It should be. And from a defensive standpoint, I think it might be a tough matchup for Baylor. Don't you? You know, it's a funky defense. They don't see it.
It's the Bay. For people who don't know, Hopkins has the Boeheim zone. And they might as well call it the Hopkins zone now because Syracuse absolutely stinks. They do. They have nobody who can shoot the basketball. Washington's better than Syracuse.
And Washington came out of the gate last year running this defense, and they were real tough.
Yep.
And that's a team I have very little interest in stepping in front of early in the season, and a team that I would only be looking to play under the total as well.
And Colorado and Arizona State, we have an early conference game. It's not just the ACC. The Pac-12 has a matchup that counts in the standings tonight. Colorado has been perplexing under Coach Boyle because they have talent. And there are times when Colorado is a really good-looking basketball team. But in the same game, they can turn into the worst group that you've ever seen. Colorado's a team that is... I might have played maybe one or two games last year on or against Colorado, and I don't think I won them. In fact, I do know one of the games was Colorado against Illinois-Chicago, and I did not win that game. I've learned to stay away from this team because I just don't know what to expect, not only from one game to the next, but from one half to the next with Colorado.
And in a sense, Arizona State's kind of the same way because they're a bombs away team.
But Hurley's been pretty good in November.
Sure. Another guy whose teams have come out of the gate.
Yes. They don't get better as the season goes along, which is actually not a good thing, but it is kind of a good thing from a betting standpoint.
It's a very good thing if you can count on it, but I don't know that you can count on a bombs away. You know, I mean, I feel like there's some element of randomness in the fact that they were as good as they were out of the gate the last 2 years. And from a market perspective, you're not getting the type of value with Arizona State, who was a pretty good team in each of the last 2 years, and underpriced at the beginning of the season as a result. In my mind, that had as much to do with early season ATS success as anything. And you're taking, if you're playing ASU, you're taking the risk. Hey, tonight's the night we're hitting threes, or tonight's the night we're not. And the high variance teams, I try to stay away from.
National Hockey League tonight, there are three games remaining. Tampa Bay with an early win in a game played in one of the Scandinavian countries, part of the Global Series. I watched the first two periods of it. The crowd was really into it, which was fun.
Favorite and under.
Yes, Lightning hold on to beat the Buffalo Sabres 3-2. Tonight, the Red Wings, who are... they're not going to make the playoffs. they are not good. And they had the misfortune of hosting the Bruins off just their second regulation loss of the season. Good luck, Detroit.
But is this one of those situations that a team starts off awful, like, oh, I don't know, the St. Louis Blues did last year,
no.
And then some kind of miracle happens,
no.
And everything goes right?
No. No, not with the Red Wings.
Okay.
They are the Dead Wings.
Is there a team like that in the NHL? That's gotten off to a really bad start, but has some kind of upside down the road?
I don't have the standings in front of me, so it's tough to say. I know that the popular reaction to that would be San Jose, but I don't think San Jose is going to be that good. I think that their goaltending issues are going to be an ongoing problem for them. There are a couple other teams that have maybe gotten off to slower than expected starts, but they're not going to be dead last in the standings like St. Louis was. So it's not... You know, they're not dramatically out of it early on, something like that. I think the couple of few worst teams in the NHL now are going to stay that way.
And with San Jose, isn't it a karma thing? Because, you know, not paying gambling
debts. Oh, I hate him.
Well, not paying gambling debts is no good.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
He took a slash on a nerve yesterday, but then he came back in the game. By the way, the Sharks last night, they're up 6-2 in the third period, held on to win 6-5. And, I mean, it was a miracle that Minnesota didn't score the sixth goal. They're not very good. Their window is closing. Other games tonight. New Jersey's at Edmonton. Edmonton's a big favorite in that game, as you would imagine. I think Corey Schneider is playing for the Devils tonight, which is not a real good thing for them. And the game of the night's Vancouver and Winnipeg. That's a good matchup. And the Vancouver coach was not happy after last night's less than lustrous performance at Chicago against the Blackhawks. Hasn't been a good week for the Canucks. They lost at home to St. Louis in overtime, when in one of the most bizarre plays I've ever seen, St. Louis ended up with a 3-on-0 break.
Oops.
In the overtime. Two Vancouver guys ran into each other, and the other one was behind them. And poor Markstrom is sitting there with three guys in front of him, and they're just playing tic-tac-toe, and that's the end of it. And then they lost last night. So maybe they get a better effort tonight at Winnipeg against the inconsistent Jets. Winnipeg's a small favorite in the game. From what I'm told, there's some sharper dollars on the Winnipeg side, but I think that probably has to do with the scheduling dynamics, because Vancouver is playing the second of back-to-backs in traveling from Chicago, and Winnipeg's had 2 days off. I don't put all that much into those scheduling dynamics. I haven't bet this yet, but I am considering Vancouver as a dog.
Yeah, plus price. You know, if you're right, if you win half the time, you make money.
Yep. And right now I'm winning more than half the time in the NHL. We'll leave it at that. Anyway, okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and Teddy will deliver the marquee matchup of the night.
For more angles and information, follow Ralph Michaels at CalSportsLV on Twitter.
What's hot today? It's time for the Wager Talk marquee matchup of the night. WagerTalk.com. Start winning now.
I talked about the UIC-Memphis game, and this just came across 5 minutes ago. I got to buy out of it. And I would advise anybody who, well, I don't know, you might be putting yourself in a position to get middled, but...
Reverse middled, you know, where you lose both sides.
Yeah. James Wiseman, who many people have projected as perhaps the number one pick in the next draft, he's the 7-1 guy from Memphis, and boy, he can really get up and down the floor. But he will not be getting up and down the floor tonight. He has been ruled ineligible, according to his lawyers at Memphis. Let me see if I can find more. His attorney, Leslie Ballin, says the NCAA has ruled James Wiseman ineligible. He says Penny Hardaway helped finance Wiseman and his family's move to Memphis back in high school. And at that time, the NCAA, as Penny was not the coach, at that time he was a booster. And that apparently is against the rules.
I love the NCAA.
Oh, I hate the organization with a passion. And this is kind of why. Yeah. Hate him.
I mean.
Worst organization in the world. Bar none. Mm. You think, if for those of you who have problems with politicians, the NCAA is way worse.
Well, the issue with the NCAA is that they never get a black eye over anything.
No.
Nothing ever changes.
No, an autonomous organization.
Yeah.
They should have been ruled out of existence.
They make billions, you know, with the TV. I mean, literally, with the TV deals, billions, and they exist.
Yeah, but they're a nonprofit organization.
They exist to keep themselves existing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
awful,
we can go
awful organization. There's no
meanwhile that line is moving like a the screen has gone black. I'll just put it that way.
Yep, that's the way it goes. So I'll put that. I'm gonna buy out of it. Obviously, well, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'll have to figure it out after I'm done with the show. It's kind of tough to do two things at once. I have a bet on Memphis at what is now a horrendous number. Yeah. It was a good number.
What was a good number is no longer a good number. Although the markets, the markets are, the screen.
Well, they might kill UIC anyway. I'll just let the bet stand. It's one bet, and I'm not going to put myself in a situation to get middled. So I'll just let it stand, and if I lose, then it's 0-1. What's the marquee matchup?
It's got to be what? Let's talk NFL, Steelers, Rams, I think. Especially because you and I have different opinions.
We do
on this
have
game,
opposite
so
opinions.
So we can debate on it.
There's no debate. You want my? I stink in the NFL. So you probably have the right side of the Steelers.
Well, Pittsburgh's win last week, and of course it was lucky. Anytime you get a defensive touchdown and a missed Vinatieri field goal where the laces were pointed the wrong way,
I saw that.
You know,
still missed the field goal by a mile.
Oh my God! There was no sweat in that field goal.
That's like a convenient excuse. That thing was going wide anyway.
Yeah. But Pittsburgh was clearly the lucky side last week.
Yeah, they were.
All that said, at 4-4, if you look at their schedule, they are absolutely live for a playoff appearance, for a division title. They play Week 17 against the Ravens again. Yeah. And there's not a winner. There's not a game where they're going to be dogs of more than the 4 points that they're dogs here.
Right. I hope you win this game because I got that Steelers future ticket sitting out there, which I obviously bought before Big Ben got hurt. And if they just get to the playoffs, I can't lose.
In the NFL, when you have a defense that's capable of winning games and covering point spreads by themselves, it tends to be an undervalued team. Their stats aren't good. People look at the offense and go, oh, my God, they have no running backs. Oh, my God, Mason Rudolph isn't all that. And Rudolph's been rough, and the running game is rough. But Pittsburgh has that type of defense that's making plays. And when I see Jared Goff against a good defense on the road, it's going to be cold in Pittsburgh this weekend. And I see a Rams offense that hasn't worked well. I could only look towards taking the points with the Steelers.
At wagertalk.com, I have 3 college football games up. I have a college basketball game up, but it's Memphis, and I wouldn't bet it now because obviously, the news with Wiseman. So don't buy that. Teddy, how about you?
Yeah, I'm locked and loaded for the weekend with, I already gave out what I like tonight in college football, but I've got 3 for tomorrow.
Good.
And a big ticket play in action in the NFL on Sunday.
Oh, cool. All right. So check those out and other great handicappers as well at wagertalk.com. Also check out sportsmemo.com where there are some guys running red hot right now. So I was going to use Memphis as the Lions physical therapy player of the day. I don't think that's going to be the case now. We'll go to that, and we'll see what Teddy can come up with for the LPT play of the day.
It's the LPT play of the day. Tonight's best bet from Lions Physical Therapy, your 5-star rated specialist.
And I really don't have anything I can give up because as of now, I have the one kind of dead ticket for tonight, and that's the only bet I've got.
Sure, and this, Dave, is a free play that you can use anytime you need it.
Oh.
Because it's going to be the same team. You can bet against this team anytime you want to.
You're going against the Browns?
Close.
Ah.
The Knicks.
Ah!
Yeah.
It's funny. James Dolan's folly.
The Knicks are rough. They are the worst. I from a power rating standpoint, I've got them in Golden State territory. You know, if they're not the worst team, they're the second worst team. And I don't know if the markets are there yet. The quotes out of that locker room are not good quotes, Dave.
Really?
Yeah. Dallas, -11, betting number 514 against the New York Knickerbockers.
All right. I think we've run out of time. No? What I got? How much? 50 seconds.
Yeah, you got to kill 50 seconds, dude.
No, I can do that.
Thank everybody.
I'm going to thank everybody. It's not enough time to go on another rant on the NCAA. Why does it have to be on the game I bet? I bet one college basketball game tonight. One college basketball game tonight, and that team's best player, maybe the best overall college player in the upcoming draft, of course he has to be ruled ineligible by the NCAA. Thank you very much. All right. Thanks to Dave Sherapan from CG Sportsbooks, Teddy Covers from Wager Talk and Sports Memo. I'm Dave Koch, and we hope you have a great weekend. And we'll do this again on Monday with Chuck Esposito, Monday afternoon quarterback, as we go round and round. Thank you, Jared Justice. Great job in the production. We'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. See ya.